to have you here in Nacogdoches. Amen. I admire this young man. And amen. It was amazing through the years we heard about you. Amen. And different ones would come through and say, man, you got to meet. And here we are. We're so thankful, amen, that he is our neighbor about 60 miles away or so. Amen. I want him to come and take his liberty tonight to follow what God has given him. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, my brother.
Well, I don't know if that means it was an infamous, famous, or criminal, or what the word was, but I'm the one that's more honored to get to know your pastor. And I really, really mean this. I appreciate his friendship to me. I'm going to let you be seated. I do appreciate you standing, but I do want to say a couple things. I don't want you to get tired before I get started. I'd rather get tired before you do, and that works out better that way. But I'm just a little young home missions preacher, pastor, and sometimes I wonder where I fit sometimes. I won't go into all the details of that, but the church that I took was kind of had isolated itself somewhat. And so because of that, there was not a lot of fellowship. And when you take a church like that, sometimes you immediately get roped into that. And so I appreciate men like your pastor that takes a chance on a young man and befriends him. And he has been a great friend to me. He has allowed preachers from your church to come bless us. You see, I pastor a little church, and I have a job, a lot of jobs. I work a job, I pastor, I try to raise four kids, and I try to be a good husband the best I can. And so I stay busy, and sometimes that keeps me from church. I don't like that, and God's going to change that soon. But hey, it's nice to have a good man of God that has good men in this church that he allows to come bless us, and I appreciate that. And I want to tell you thank you again. Now, he's got to come preach for me, too. I want him to come preach for me. And God's been good to us. And he said, did you say we're a foreign country in Jasper? And so I'm a missionary in a foreign country. And so I'm doing my best to build a church in a foreign country. But God's been good to us. And you got a beautiful campus here. Beautiful campus. And we have a nice place. And God's been very good to us. And I don't even say this a lot, but I don't get a lot of opportunities to say this. But I am going to say this, Buck, because I want to. When I started pastoring, and I do have somewhere I want to go tonight, and I tend to get there. But when I started pastoring, I took a church of about 8 folks, and they were elderly, all elderly folks. Because of my wife and I, and we had a newborn, we lowered the average age to about 80. We lowered it. By our age, brought it down. So you can understand, and I love every one of them. But because of that, we had a couple of them pass away shortly thereafter. So we didn't grow other than the baby that we had had. We kind of shrunk initially. And I knew that my age and my strength and my energy, and I got a little bit of energy. You might see a little of it here in a minute. But I just knew all I wanted was them just to be behind me. I said, you know what, I know you can't do all that I'm going to try to do, but if you'll just get behind me, let's just see what God will do. Amen. And so we got started, and we had to get through some things. And so from 8, we have grown, but I do have a vision, and I think we should all, everyone, we've got to have a vision. And let me just give you a good vision to get. Get a hold of the same vision that your pastor has. Amen. Get on board with the vision that he has. Get behind it. Support it. Man, get on board. And I believe you got some people here that are that way. And so we had grown, and I'm always thinking of where we're going to put a new building one day, where we're going to build this new building. And we had remodeled it all. It was built in the late 70s, and it just needed some updates. And sometimes that's even a struggle to get, you know, change things. And we wanted to update it, and it was going to cost about $50,000. And so I decided to take up an offering, but I had sold a property, and I decided to give every penny if I needed to make sure we remodeled it. So we took up an offering that night, and we took up $45,000. Now, you can imagine, I was planning on paying for all of it out of what I had just got from selling a house. And so I thought, well, now I only got to get $5,000. But I'd already given it some. But that next day, I was on my tractor, and I got to thinking, God, it's just as easy for you to give $50,000, that's what the amount is, as $45,000. I mean, God can do any. What's $50,000 if he can do $45,000? And I said, I want you to know, God, I am thankful, but I just don't understand why you stopped at 45. So we plowed on in, and since we'd had such a good offering, I'd added a few things that we wanted to do, get some new windows, you know, hey, good offerings. And so we started into that remodel. Within 5 days of being in that remodel, I went to check our post office box, you know, mail, and I pulled out an envelope that was from people that don't attend our church. And I opened the envelope, and would you believe it? Now, they didn't know it. They didn't know anything, nothing, what was going on. They don't go to church there. You know how much that check was for? You got it. I ran into them in a restaurant, and I said, I got to tell you the story. Got to tell you the story. And they began to cry. They said, well, that's just what we felt to give. I said, that was the right thing to give. And so God's been good along the way. And it's not all about, but it is about those things. It is about those things. And so, do you mind if I tell some of this? And I'm going to get in. I'm going to encourage you, because there may be some situations. We got some visions around here that we need God to supply, and I know he can. Hey, he could supply it before we get out of here tonight. He could spur somebody. Man, get a hold of somebody. Man, that old wallet just starts getting so heavy, about to pull your britches down. You say, I got to lighten this up some and take care of business. And so, anyway, we had a property next door to us. Now, we don't got a big crowd, and we got a nice building. It ain't full, but sometimes it gets close. But we're in a great location, but kind of hemmed in. And so a property next door came up for sale for $595,000. And it had just under 3 acres and a bunch of buildings and house, a big old executive home on it. That it's older too, but you know, all these property. And so I told the church, when I said, I want that property next door because it may never come up for sale again. And we don't got anywhere else to go. And if we don't get it, we may never get it. And hey, we're going to have to build one day, and we're going to need more land. And you got to have all these things. And so I said, but it's way too expensive and we can't afford it. But if God wants us to have it, we'll get it. Amen. So a man come to me, and he had heard that I was interested in this property. So he decided to do us a really good favor. He decided, I'm going to go ahead and purchase it, because I know who's got it for sale. It's actually a cousin of his. I'll see if he'll cut me a good deal. I'll buy it from him. And whenever y'all get ready, when you got the funds, you can buy it for what I get it for. So since it was his cousin, he worked the deal for $300,000, nearly half price. Still a lot of money for all I want it for is parking. That's an expensive parking lot, and that's before the concrete gets put in. You understand? And so he decided to buy it in two installments per his tax guy. So he gave him $150,000 the next year. And so that was the deal. So I thought, well, at least $300,000, we know what the price is. Well, come January 1st, he made that second installment, and he got the deed to the property. And that deed was burning his pockets up. He said, you know, I got some kids that they'll probably want this one day, and my health ain't too good. He said, why don't I just give y'all that property right now? I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Hey, we went down there to a lawyer. We wrote up the deed papers. We got that property for $200. We own the property next door to us that was on the market for $595,000, and we got it for $200. Hey, and God's no respecter of persons. Who am I? Ain't nothing. I'm just a little old foreign missions in Jasper. Knot-headed fella that's a little hard-headed sometimes. And hey, but God's good. And I told the church, he wouldn't give it to us if he didn't know the plans that we have. One day, hey, we're going to use it. Amen. For the glory of God. Oh, that lawyer, he said, you know, we don't want to probably survey it in. And I understand where he was coming from. He said, you don't want to survey it in because one day you might need money and have to sell it. I told him, just like I said, we didn't plan to use it for God. And if we did sell, we'd sell everything. We'd have to go somewhere else. Big, maybe need 50 acres or something to build a church on, you know. So we might need more room. But I told him, we don't have any intentions of just making money. We have intentions of seeing souls saved. That's what it's all about, is seeing somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got to get a hold of that. I've tried to get it a hold of our church, that a lot of the answers to a lot of, not just the church's problems, but your problem. Your problem. The answer to your problem. Get out there and win a soul. Certainly it helps the churches. But you go win a soul and see if it don't improve your spirit. See if it don't improve things around you. See if it's still about seeing souls saved. Woo, hallelujah. Get a hold of that. Don't be afraid. I've tried to put it in my children. And my daughter, boy, she will invite people to church. But they don't come. She's come crying to me several times. Daddy, they say they're going to come. Because who tells a 9-year-old they ain't coming? Right? Everybody says they're coming. Oh, yeah, I'll come. And so... they don't come. And she says, Dad, I don't understand it. Why don't they come when I invite them? I said, Bella, and she wanted to come tonight, but she had piano lessons tonight. She wanted so bad to come with me. I said, they don't all come that I invite either. Just keep on inviting. God will send somebody. And so I'd been praying, God, let her see somebody come that she invited. And she had a school teacher last year that my wife worked with, and a young lady, good family. We've talked to them, and my daughter has invited them to church many times, and they say they're going to come. And so recently she decided she was tired of teaching. They own a boat company, and so she said, I didn't need to work. And so that you think that communication is lost because we see them every day. And so you just pray, God, I hope everything that they've impacted works. Well, we ran into them at a restaurant. And she was crying. She was hugging Bella. And I said, well, you know where to find us every Sunday night and Wednesday night. I know. Well, somebody somewhere a long way said, must have told her we started church at 11. So I was right in the middle of preaching Sunday morning, preaching my guts out. I felt the Lord, and all of a sudden the back doors I seen in the foyer. And guess who it was? It was that teacher. And guess who was in that altar? Tears coming down her face. Was that teacher. Hey, she come down, and my wife wasn't in there, so she didn't really know anybody but me when she come in. And I said, you want me to go get John? No, we'll talk to her later. She come to that altar. And so as she's praying, my wife just kind of helps with the Sunday school, not teachers. But she started looking in. She's like, who is that down there praying? She mouths, who is that? And I said, it's Michael. Boy, she come running in there. But I couldn't. I wanted to give her a private, but I couldn't let my daughter not see it. That's somebody she invited. I went down in that Sunday school room. I said, Bella, come here. Come on into the sanctuary real quick. Hey, she said, who is it? She opened the door. She's looking down there. All of a sudden, them tears come to her eyes. She took off running, grabbed her around, and they just both had them a cry fest. Hey, I was so thankful. So thankful. God still answering prayers. Woo, he's still answering prayers. Amen, amen. You don't know who you're impacting. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Amen. And God's going to do it. Praise the Lord. And hey, you've seen those kind of things happen. It's still happening. Yeah, there's plenty of devils out there that don't want nothing but to be a whatever. But that don't mean everybody's that way. Don't let the devil lie to you. Ain't nobody wanted. There's a world out there. They're dying. They're sick of this world. Amen. They want to live a little while. And this is a good place to live right here in the house of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, y'all don't have clocks up here. That's great. 2 Samuel chapter 3. the other morning I was really studying something else, and I read this, and it began to, and I'll be honest, it probably was really just really working on me and for me, maybe I'm the only one this way, but sometimes I get up to preach, and I know it's just for me, and they just get to listen, right? I'm just bearing it on me because I need it. But I believe when God gives us something, I do believe it's good for all of us. It's the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter number 3, and I'll, just for the sake of the text here, let's verse number 36. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. And boy, if we could ever get to that place that everything we did pleased all the people. But that, David was in a good spot right there. Everything he did, all the people were pleased. And for all the people of Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And what I want to preach from is verse number 39 here. It says, and I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zariah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. He's got all the people happy with what he's doing, but something had happened. And he says, even though I'm anointed king, I got a weakness. These sons of Zariah, they won't listen to nothing I say. Well, all the people of Israel were happy, but you understand there's two that did their own thing. And David accounted it as a weakness to him. Even though he's anointed king, he says, I'm weak. And boy, have I ever felt like that before. Get up from a Holy Ghost anointed touch of God, and then all of a sudden, I still have a weakness I still got to deal with. I'm thinking, God, why can't I just get so strong I beat everything? I don't think it's intended for that to be the case. That you get so big and so strong that you don't have any weaknesses. That could be a dangerous place to be. So I want to just preach, and I know sometimes themes sometimes can be a little common, but anointed, but weak. Anointed, but weak. You can be seated tonight. This story here is coming. David is fairly new. He's a fairly newly king, anointed king. Well, not anointed, but has become king. Saul and Jonathan, and Jonathan was his dear friend, they had been killed very recently. And Abner, who was very loyal to Saul, as was David. David was very loyal to Saul. David recognized God's anointed. And David tried his best never to cross Saul in the sense of his leadership. And so I believe even David could understand why Abner, in his loyalty to Saul, would go and anoint Ishbosheth to be king. Because he's the rightful lineage. You know, let's keep that in the family of Saul. Abner had a few other little tricks up his sleeve. He wanted one of the concubines of Saul. But when he realized that was going to fall apart, he goes and makes an alliance with David. So I don't know if David necessarily looked at Abner as Abner hates me as much as he really loved Saul and wanted to keep things kind of the same. But in any case, there was a war between David's men and Abner and the lineage of Saul, fighting for who really should be the king here. And in the course of fighting, Abner was riding his chariot one day, and I can't tell all the story. Some of you just gonna have to know for yourself. But there was a young man by the name of Asahel. He's chasing down Abner. Abner tells him, "Hey, turn aside. If you don't, it's gonna be to your own harm." You know, he doesn't. Asahel was quite a runner. I don't think we might have some fast guys here, but this guy was running, catching up to a chariot on his feet. Okay, he's running. He doesn't turn. Abner grabs his spear and stabs him through and kills him. Asahel had two brothers by the name of Joab and Abishai. They didn't appreciate that. But in the course of time, Abner makes peace with David. And David sends Abner away in peace. We really read that David even thought about making Abner a chief or leader because Joab's so loose cannon. So he sends Abner away in peace. But Joab has a bone to pick. Rib, to be exact. A fifth rib, to be exact. But he has a bone to pick. You got to lighten up sometimes. He had a bone to pick with Abner. Even though David, who's king, and in this text here, all the people, really, that whatever David says, they're happy. But Joab knows, he hears that David sends Abner away in peace, and he's upset. He goes and finds Abner. Abner's in the city of Hebron, which is a city of refuge. I'm sure your pastor's talked about all that, so you know about it. He calls him out. And a lot of this you know. I'm just kind of laying a foundation to get somewhere. He calls Abner outside the gate. Once he's outside the gate, he's free game. Joab can take vengeance upon his dead brother. The Bible tells us, though, that Joab and Abishai kill Abner. Okay? So when David is saying the sons of Zeruiah, he is talking about Joab and Abishai. Everybody else is with him. He's anointed king. The throne is his. He's had the anointing oil. He's seen God give him victory. But he's saying, even though I've got the anointing upon my life, I recognize I can't control these two people. And you understand, we can get so weak feeling when we realize there are things outside of our control. We like to be in control. And I have a message I preach, and it's really, I just tell a story, but it's pretty good. But it has to do with King Arthur. I read it, heard it, and read it, but something about what women want. Now you want to know what women want, but cut to the chase. They want to be in control, right, of their own destiny. They want to be in control. And if we were all honest, we all like to be able to control some things. If I could ask you, if you could go to your boss and you pick the raise that you got, you would like that. You could control that. But it's those things that are outside of our control that brings a weakness to us. And I'm just telling you, the longer we go, there seems like there's a whole lot more out of my control. People out of my control. Situations out of my control. I can pray, I can feel the glory of God, and I can have the anointing. Feels like it's just coursing through my bones. And then I get up and I run into a situation thinking, I don't even know what to do here. I thought, boy, I had the world by the tail, and everything was going my way. And now this, and no matter what I do, and I get so frustrated. And before I know it, I'm already telling myself, well, I can't do nothing right. And you know you've been there before, where you get so frustrated because what you want to work out isn't working out. And even though God is on you and God has touched you and God has filled you with the Holy Ghost, you find yourself in a spot that you cannot control anything. And you're asking yourself, well, I wonder if God really did speak to me. And I wonder if God really even cares about me. I'm here to tell you, He does care about you. He does hear your prayer. He knows everything that you're going through. He hasn't left you high and dry. But it's just that little weak area. A little weak area in your life. Sometimes, and just to balance this out, I want to say this. I'm not talking about if you snorting cocaine. Okay? We're not talking about things like that. Get deliverance of that. Right? We're not talking about, well, I got this weakness. I just commit adultery all the time. No, you need to bring that adultery to the altar. Repent of your sins and let God deliver you of that garbage. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the, because you can control that. We're talking about those things that, hey, I just can't do it. I mean, I can do some things, but I can't. I hit my limits, and I thought, God, you were going to anoint me and borrow everything. We was going to do it all. But you need to understand, God anoints you for his purpose and will, not your desire. I see some people that they're new converts, and they like to quote, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I believe that. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But they're thinking I can just do all things. Right? I can do all things through Christ. The thing is, God don't strengthen you to do everything. You can do all things that he strengthens you to do. But there are times he doesn't give you the strength to do it. Because if you could do everything, you could end up like Paul, who said, unless I be exalted beyond measure. Hey, if you had all the strength and could do everything, you wouldn't need God anymore. But hey, he leaves some weaknesses in our life because we got to get to a place that we say, God, it's got to be you. It's got to be God or it won't be done. And many times me as a pastor, my limits is people. Right? I mean, the next step is your hand around their neck. And then I say, but God, I'm so weak. Right? You understand? You can't. What else can I do? I had a lady, elderly lady, and Brother Watson would know. He's come and blessed us many times preaching, but they come from a Trinitarian background and in their late 80s. That's a lot of years to hear three gods. I mean, if you don't get that, three gods after 85 years, the way they teach it, you don't got it. So they had that false doctrine down. And literally hours and hours and hours and hours I spent trying to teach one God just to get the basics. You don't see it. And they'd see it and then they wouldn't. Then they'd see it and then they'd go talk to somebody on the phone. They'd get confused again. And I just got to the point, I didn't know what to do. I could be quoting scripture, man, feeling the anointing of the Lord. And whoa, and couldn't do it, couldn't get to it through them. I just told God, I don't know what I'm going to do, God. You've got to do it. I don't know any more scripture to give them. Would you believe it? She had a dream. And God revealed to her in a dream one God. She come to the, because I couldn't get them to be baptized in Jesus' name. They believed in the Trinity. And they had lined up to everything I had asked them. If I asked, they did it. But couldn't see the revelation. But that morning, they had the dream. They said, so I guess we should be baptized in Jesus' name. You see, it was my limit. And I was frustrated. And it was very easy to use that situation to say, what's the good of me teaching anybody one God? I don't have the ability to teach them. Have you ever been there? And can I just get real personal? Sometimes, maybe I should say a lot of times, our weak spots is that which is closest to us. The very closest thing, our family, our children, our mom, our dad, the very closest thing to us. And I have seen it over the years. I've been raised in church. Because someone was unsuccessful at the time, and maybe they were always going to be. They may need somebody else to do it. They could not reach their children, and so they never tried to reach for anybody. You see, that weakness was an area. They should have just said, God, let somebody else reach them. I've tried. I prayed. I'll just do what I can. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to pray. God, you can send somebody. They will hear. Because if we allow the weakness to creep, the weakness will grow. You don't have a clock, but I still want to be cognizant of the time. And so David, he's crying in a sense. He's weeping. He's lamenting here about a weakness that he has, even though he's king. I mean, king, you got everything you want, man. Why are you crying over spilled milk in a sense? Two old knotheads. Why are you so upset? But he says, this is my weakness. I don't know what I'm going to do. You got everybody else listening to you, and you're lamenting over these two, the sons of Zariah. But that's what he says. But he says, God, I guess I'll just let you recompense those things. I just got to let you take care of it. And maybe I'm jumping ahead, but I know you want to hear something good. If you fast forward in the story, yes, Joab does. David tells Solomon, you got to bring his hoary head down. But that's still after David dies. But before David dies, one day there's a battle between David and a giant. Now, David's the mighty giant killer, right? Everybody know David and Goliath? Saul's killed his thousands and David's his 10,000s. He's a mighty giant killer. But you know, even David, even though you're anointed, age catches up with you. And one day, he was fighting a giant. And the Bible says that giant thought to have slew David. But you remember those two sons that were too hard for David? You remember his weakness? You remember the weakness David was lamenting about, even though he's got everybody's support, but these two, and he said, I'm anointed, but I'm so weak. His weakness shows up. And he thought to have slew David, but Abishai raises up and kills that giant. And David lives another day. It's amazing how a weakness one day could somehow come full circle. And it ends up being something that turns out for his benefit. You hearing me? Because God still knows a lot more than I do. There are some things he just doesn't let me. And I know I could get real, and I feel it on me because it is to me. I have, and you've been around a long time, brother. I've had countless come cry and get in them altars. We had a man, fortunately he's not with us anymore, but he come and, well, I did countless Bible studies, and he saw the truth, and, oh, I was looking so forward to being there and laying my hands and filling with the Holy Ghost, And it was somebody else preaching for us and laid hands on him. He got the Holy Ghost. And it just seems like that happens a lot. You know, as a pastor, it just kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. But I've learned, God, if that's a weak area, I'll let somebody else. You understand? Because I may not be able to do it, but they may be able to. And that one they prayed through there, they might be my right-hand man. It's a weak area. It's something that God just does not let me do. And there are some things that God is not going to allow you to do. But aren't you glad we have a pastor? Aren't we glad we have another brother in the church? Another sister in the church? Amen, that when we're weak, and the Bible says that his strength, he's always got strength, but it's made perfect. I thought his strength was always perfect. It is. But his strength is made perfect when? In my weakness. when I have, hey, I may be able to do a lot of things. And oh, if we would all be honest with ourselves. It don't matter how many times God has used you and all these things. Hey, you know there are some areas in your life you just cannot seem to just, man, I just wish I could get that breakthrough there. Hey, just keep on trusting God. Keep on loving God. Don't get discouraged because you're feeling a little weak there. Hey, God's still good. God knows what he's doing. Amen. And the answer is on the way. It is on the way. It just always don't come in my timing. But he sure knows how to do it. Amen. You can have stubborn saints. You have stubborn preachers. But it ain't your place to correct me or him. God knows how to do it. I thought I'd just throw that in there because it don't mean I can't be stubborn. Let God deal with it. Just let God deal with it. Stubborn, you get so. But you guess what? I can realize that if I try to do it where God is not allowing, I can really mess it up. And I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, I've been guilty. Where I was weak, I was trying to make myself strong. Well, bless God. I nearly destroyed my sister-in-law because of that. Thank God I made prayer because she wasn't living right and I got sick of it. But it wasn't my place. I was out of place. This was years beyond my younger, dumber years. I hope I'm beyond most of that. But I realized that, hey, I couldn't, and I was trying to be the one, and I almost destroyed her because of that. And thank God I have went to her and said, you know what? I didn't do that right. And I can tell you she can come to that church now. She still ain't got the, but she'll weep as I preach. Hey, I've made amends to say, hey, I'm just going to let God do the work. We've got to recognize that, hey, I'm just a little weak there. David, a man after God's own heart, was man enough to say, I'm weak. I'm anointed. There's no doubt God's hands on you. But I just don't feel like I'm getting that breakthrough. It's all right. That don't mean God ain't on you. That don't mean God's not going to use you. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But God can still use you. It doesn't mean you're useless. It don't mean you're good for nothing. Just because you're a little weak. Moses, you can't even speak good. Don't let that weakness stop you from leading God's people out. I mean, how many times we can look at all kind of little weaknesses that God had to take up the gap. But God's still able to fill up the gaps. Amen. If you'll just get to the place and be honest. Yeah. I'm amazed. I've heard this. About ignorant. It sounds ignorant on face. You got to be honest with yourself. Well, if you're dumb enough to lie to yourself, you understand? And I know what they're saying. But, I mean, are you really trying to lie to yourself? No, you need to come clean and honest with God. And I've preached to this. Hey, I've tried to tell new people, hey, if you're a liar, you need to get it. Oh, God, I'm a liar. Forgive me of being a liar. Come on. You got to just be honest. And you got to say, God, I am just weak. I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. I thank you, Lord, for helping me out. And I'm just weak. So, God, would you just please do the work? It's amazing if you just get honest and come to grips that God still loves me. God's still going to use me. And I'm still going to keep on working for the Lord. But in this area, I just learned. Can't do it. You won't wear yourself out. You won't get so frustrated. You'll just say, God, you just go ahead and have to do it from there. And if you let them do it, I'll let them do it because I can't do it. Is this making sense at all? I know it's midweek. I guess we're just talking a little bit. But don't think you've lost the anointing or you've lost the Holy Ghost just because you've kind of come up against a wall. Hello? Don't let life frustrate you so much, because, man, the more you're banging, maybe you need to quit banging your head against that wall. The wall's there. It's a wall. It's there for, that's it. It's a wall. Say, I guess I'll just quit banging my head against that one. Right? Kind of like you knock a door and they spit at you, just go to the next one. Why get worried about that one? It didn't work. Go on the next one. And I'm saying all that, I'm trying to, you know, lift your spirit. But when it's your children, it's hard. If it's your mama, it's hard. If it's your daddy, it's hard. It's hard. But you got to understand, there could be a reason why you can't. And you better say, God, I'm willing to let somebody else do it. I can't. All I want, and I've prayed this, and because I've seen a lot being raised in a preacher's home, and I love my children, and some things I'm praying now because I know when it may be harder to pray when I get later on, because you understand. So I'm praying it now, thinking, oh God, you saw those prayers then. But I want to keep my children around me. But I have prayed, God, if you tarry, whatever it takes for my children to be saved. I prayed that for my brothers when they was not living right. I prayed that for my brother-in-law. He's not right yet, but he's come a long ways. And because, I will be honest with you. I've tried as hard as anybody with all of my close family. And I mean, I may sometimes it would be worse, but I prayed, God, whatever you got to do, I'm not getting through. I watched others talk to them. I mean, just not even, I mean, didn't even get serious with them. And they, you can just see that they were affecting them. It hurts their feelings sometimes. Weakness. But hey, it's all right. It's all right, God, if you'll do it. If God, you'll do it, that's all that matters. If God will do it, that's all that matters. And God will, if we'll just let him. Amen. You may ask God this, God that, like Paul, hey, oh man, take it out of me. Take this thorn out of my flesh. But he left it. There was a reason. And that's one thing we still don't know the reason to. But God knows the reason why. He knows the reason why. Boy, I've had lots of questions why. But God has the answer. Let's stand tonight. Y'all don't have clocks again, but it's okay. I feel good. I'm going to close here in Psalm 20. It says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Verse 2 says, send thee help from the sanctuary. Aren't you glad for the sanctuary? Amen. This is a sanctuary. It's a beautiful place. You ought to come every chance you get, every opportunity you can. Come to the house of God. Amen. I know things can come up, but hey, do whatever you can to get to the house of God. You don't know. There's help in the sanctuary. There is help in the sanctuary. And strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. In verse number 6, and remember David, this is also something David's writing. David says, I am anointed but weak. But here's the beauty of this. He says, now know I. If there's nothing else, if I'm weak, I may be weak. I don't like that. But he says, now I know the Lord saveth his anointed. Are you hearing me? I may be weak, but I got some salvation. I wish I had all the strength in the world. I wish I could do everything. Everything my heart said, I wish, boy, I just, man, I got big ambitions. I wish I could do them all, but I can't. But I can take refuge in that. That I may be weak, I may get frustrated, but I'm going to keep on persevering because there's salvation that he's assured me. I'll keep the anointing of God upon my life. Hey, when you get the Holy Ghost, God anoints you. When the Bible says, touch not mine anointed, sometimes we want to limit that to just the ministry. No, that's touch not mine anointed. If you got the Holy Ghost tonight, raise your hand. Touch not mine anointed. Hello? Hey, you're anointed. Holy Ghost. God's with you. And you may be feeling like frustration because you're feeling so weak. But no, I know. God saves his anointed. Woo. And really, that's all I want. That's what I'm living for. I want to be saved. Do you want to be saved? I wonder. Certainly no one here wants to not be saved. And the thing is, a lot of people say, I know I'm saved and sanctified and whatever. And I know what they mean. But until those doors click behind us, I'm still waiting on that promise. But if I can just keep that anointing, I know. If I can just keep that Holy Ghost fire burning down inside of me, I know there's salvation coming. Frustrations, oh, they're going to happen. Cross what's saying, you just got to keep running. Just keep running. Amen. God knows how to take up in those weak areas. He hadn't forgot about you. You're not a nobody. You're not good for nothing. You're still useful in the kingdom of God. Get busy. Get busy. Find something to do for God. Just, hey, go to the next person. Just go to the next one. Hey, keep on reaching for a soul. Keep on loving your children and praying for them. But hey, you may not be able to reach them, but somebody can. God's still the one hearing every prayer that you make. Amen. The co-worker on the job, just keep on reaching. You may not be able to reach them. I remember, and I'm close. I am close. I don't want to just act like it, but I am. I remember as a young man on the job, I got a good job straight out of high school, had a supervisor that was a raging alcoholic. And if you're an alcoholic tonight, we preach once an alcoholic. That's it. Not once, always. Once. Once an alcoholic, and that's it. He ain't no more. But he was an alcoholic, and I could tell he was struggling. I was young. I was 18 years old, just out of high school. And, you know, but I had gained a little respect just because I was so different from everybody. And I tried. I didn't have confidence in me. And I kept pushing him to get with my dad. And you got to talk to my dad. And maybe I was missing it. Maybe I missed it. I questioned. But he ended up drinking himself to death. He died. Quickly, I mean, drank himself to death. He had dinner, I think they had him and his wife had dinner with my mom and dad one time. But of course, I was seeing him every day. But I was trying to get my dad to reach him. And it bothered me when he died. I thought, God, did I miss my opportunity? Did I look at myself as insignificant? And I didn't even try. And God, I really mean this. I have tried to do better. They may not want to hear it, but I didn't like what I felt, knowing I might have had another chance to reach them. Hey, there's still people you can reach today. You might have failed miserably with somebody before. Hey, I'm telling you, don't give up. Find a soul. You say, I don't even know how to give a Bible study. Well, who does? Just share your testimony. Hey, God wants to use you. Hey, you're valuable for the kingdom of God. God sees the weakness. Let him just do what he's got to do. Don't let it be what identifies you as that one little weakness. Right? If I had my leg cut off, you might not hear anything I said because I just all you'd be noticing, and everybody say, you know that one-legged preacher. You'd identify me by what you see. But a lot of times you identify yourself by what you see. Well, I'm not perfect. I ain't either. I'm just trying to live for God. I'm really trying to be not what the world calls a Christian. I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm trying to pray. I need to pray more. Yeah, I'll admit it. I need to pray more. I try to worship. I love worshiping God. And I got a lot of shortcomings, and I recognize it. But I got something inside of me God gave me at 7 years old. I've had to get it a bunch of times since then. And I know that's still the best thing He could ever do for me. And in spite of my weakness, I want to live every day showing Him I thank God You have given me the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to whine and cry about what I can do. I'm just going to thank God for what He's already done and for saving my soul. And I think God can see that and say, hey, you're thanking me in spite of that weakness. I think I'll come to the rescue in that area. You just can't do it, brother. And oh, what a sweet day it is, because He gets all the glory. And that's what it's all about. I want to open these altars tonight. This might be a little slower than what I normally go, but I just want us to have a little time to talk to God. He knows everything about you. You can hide it from me. You can hide it from others. But God knows everything. And you can talk to Him about it tonight. God's given you the Holy Ghost. Sure, you got a little weakness. Sure, you got some areas you feel like, boy, I just can't break through. I don't have the answer for that, but I can tell you if you'll just lean on the Lord, He's got every answer that you need tonight. Come on, everybody. Why don't everybody pray? We've got time to talk to God. He's in this house tonight. He's able to hear you. He's able to touch you even right now.
Beyond the open door, there's a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door. The Lord will go before you into a greater power than you've ever known before. Beyond the open
door. Oh, I know the Lord can read your mind, but He likes to hear your voice. He likes to hear your voice crying out to Him.
Hear the Spirit calling.
Oh, why don't you talk to the Lord tonight?
You
hallelujah.
To go, walk on.